yeah, suckers. You know what time it is. It's time to flip your phone to vibrate, put your candy in your pocket, and start kicking the chair in front of you. It's a cool teacher podcast with Bobber and Chris. Two teachers so cool, they give extra credit for Nobel Prizes. And now, from the Executive Teachers Lounge on the campus of Boise State University, is Bobber and Chris.
Welcome to episode 79 of the Cool Teacher Podcast, streaming from, the middle of the education building on the campus of Boise State University. We bring you the tools, the tips, and the trends that make your classroom a cool and engaging place. It's the Cool Teacher Podcast, hosted by Dr. Barbara Schroeder and yours truly, Dr. Chris Haskell. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you so much, Chris. It kind of makes me think of Go Broncos when you did that Cool Teacher Podcast.
Kind of like that, yeah.
Well, anyhow, our music is provided today by our friends at musicalley.com.
And check out our latest episodes, blogs, links at coolteachers.org.
And follow our Twitter feed at Cool Teachers.
At Cool Teachers, yeah. Mm-hmm. And like our Facebook page, please.
Yes.
Cool Teacher Podcast. We'd love to hear from you there.
We need
as well.
Some friends.
We do.
I would like to let you know that information and views presented in this podcast or posted to our coolteachers.org site are mine and mine alone, and just try to catch me if you can.
That's right. Today's podcast is going to have some cool stuff. We're going to talk about assessing our students. I'm going to talk about digital badges and the Mozilla OBI.
Okay, and I'm going to talk about Google Chromebook, a solution for students come first. And would you rather? This is going to be scary for me.
I've prepped this. Would you rather? It could go any way.
It could. It'll probably be out of control, I'm sure. If I'm in charge of it,
they're going to be your answer. So tell us
about assessing our students. Well, I've been thinking quite a lot about assessing our students. You know, our traditional method is to have students take tests, the teachers grade them, they average the scores, and then those scores turn into grades that are submitted to a report card that parents get.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about you, Chris, but these report cards that I get in the mail are impersonal, unidimensional, and quite frankly, disappointing. I mean, can I really view how my child is doing when all I see are straight A's or B's or F's or whatever?
It doesn't explain the interaction with the curriculum or other people.
How about those short comments, a pleasure to have in class?
Mm.
Yeah, right. Okay, so another negative aspect to the grading report is the lack of information during the student's time in school.
They're all summative assessments.
Right, exactly. They're summative. Like, what is my child doing right now? Why do I have to wait until I get the report card to find out that my child has failed a course or he or she is doing really well? So why is assessment done this way?
Well, I mean, we're teachers, and we know how many students we have, how much curriculum we're pushing, how much feedback we're getting and interacting with that. And frankly, it takes a long time to develop reasonable tools, and partly because we're asked to do it at specific intervals.
Right, and we're asked to submit grades, and that's how students move forward in school. That's how students move forward at Boise State. They get grades
in
our courses.
It's an unabashed industrial paradigm. We stole the grade book from the factory floor. We moved it into our factory schools, and we judge students individually and basically claim a quality of their knowledge or their ability.
And parents of students who are in K-12 classrooms really don't know what their kids are doing, really.
Yeah.
Unless they're in elementary school, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a solution for this, and I may not be able to talk a whole lot about it, and I may have to wait until another week to talk about it.
Or you can encourage people to read your blog.
Well, that's true. I could do that as well. But I'm thinking about assessments that, like, for instance, portfolios. And that's what we do here at Boise State.
Active
we have
assessments.
Our students create a portfolio from the very beginning of their course.
Any others?
Well, I'm going to give you a specific example of, like, an English class.
Okay.
A teacher sets up, makes sure her students have a blog. All of their writing assignments are posted to their individual blogs. The parents have this blog address. The parents are encouraged to write comments. The other students write comments to that student's blog posts. And of course, the teachers do as well. And it's an ongoing record of what the student's doing in the class and a way for parents to look at progress. So I'll talk about this a little bit further in more detail, but I think that portfolio, performance-based assessments should be something that we're doing digital portfolios all the time in
collections school. Collections of artifacts that we can point to for standards rather than assignment of all work being qualified by one letter.
Right, exactly. So it's a huge issue and a huge discussion, but I wanted to at least start it.
Well, let's continue this as we discuss digital badges, because what we know and what we can do have always been a summative thing.
Mm-hmm, right.
School's credential. You go to classes in kindergarten and first grade to earn you the right to go to second grade, and we make arbitrary distinctions about what's supposed to be learned at those levels. We've all been asked to do those things.
And the students are divided by age, because as we know, all 12-year-olds are the same development. Like
right,
a boy
of course,
is 12 years old and a girl.
Yeah,
they're the same, right?
Or as Ken Robinson says, their date of manufacture.
Right, that's a good one.
The most important thing about them is their date of manufacture. And we know that this is problematic, and mm-hmm. we've talked about it.
Right.
But one of the ways that we are moving, and this is the trends mm-hmm. Part of our creed, is that we're starting to see a move away from massive summative assessments and more kind of finite granular assessments in the form of digital badges. So if you were to participate in a Club Penguin activity or a summer camp, where you went away to summer camp and you learned some skill and could earn a digital badge that was honored by your school, by your work, by your social groups,
mm-hmm.
That would be a valuable thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just earning the archery badge or perhaps doing a 10-mile hike could represent something in your physical ed class.
Right, exactly. It doesn't have to be just something that you do in school.
So Mozilla, creator Firefox, is pushing what ultimately is a MacArthur grant through a competition called the Digital Media and Learning competition, which I am participating
exactly.
in right now with our colleague Lisa Dolly.
Uh-huh.
And we are actually building the first level of digital badges using
our
game-based tool. Well, I don't sleep. I'm a vampire.
Yeah, right.
Kinda like,
okay.
Edward. In,
okay, okay.
Right? I don't
all
even
right.
have a bed. I just have a lounge.
Oh, that's nice. You probably sleep right here in your office, right?
And a moody girlfriend.
That's why it kind of smells in here.
It does.
Yeah, okay.
That's the bat.
All right, back to the badges.
But we're starting to build these badges so that when students earn a basic knowledge level, for us, we're building NOAA career badges, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration career badges. So you can become a hurricane hunter or a coastal manager, and by playing through a curriculum to earn that award. That badge, that digital badge, is then transferred to your Mozilla, your digital
mm-hmm.
backpack, and
right.
then it will embed any place you place the iframe or the embed, so people can see
right.
the things that you collect.
So your digital portfolio could include all of those
absolutely.
Badges. It would be a great...
Yep.
I just think it's a great idea, and I'm always reminded of Boy Scouts.
Yep.
You know, they're the ones who...
Well, and Girl
those
Scouts
badges.
Do the same as well.
Right,
mm-hmm.
and were you a Boy Scout?
I was.
And were you proud of getting your badges?
Yes, I have a son who's an Eagle Scout and a son who's about to become an Eagle
right,
Scout.
And he's probably so proud
he
of
is.
The badges.
Yep.
So let's move on
very
here.
Much so.
I'm supposed to be cycling right now. I just got my calendar pop up. Oh, well, too bad I missed that lesson. Now, next I want to talk about the Google Chromebook and why I think that this is a solution for Idaho's Students Come First.
Let me give you a brief description of Students Come
right.
First, and then you can
yes,
jump right
that's
into
good.
Chromebooks.
Good idea.
Here in Idaho, probably like in your state, we're wrestling with legislation that will push schools into the 21st century by increasing digital literacy and giving them the tools and devices so that they can develop these digital literacies.
Mm-hmm, right.
They come with a little bit of friction because of obviously there's a massive cost, and that cost has a planned reciprocity. So what do we do in 4 years when these...
I'm really impressed you know that word reciprocity.
Well, yeah, you gave me that book last
right,
year,
okay.
and I've been using
that's
it
good,
to learn
that's
words.
Good.
Because these have... I said it wrong. I meant obsolescence.
Oh,
what a dummy.
Oh, okay.
The
good
planned obsolescence. Reciprocity is the arrangement between two organizations.
Okay.
But let's go. Why?
Why would
Chromebooks? Aren't they expensive?
Let me go back up just a little bit. No, Chromebooks are very reasonable. But the whole idea of that there should be one computer can do everything, forget it. That's just not going to happen. I equate that to like a car.
Right.
Can you buy a car that has great gas, fuel efficiency, is large, will go through the snow, is also sexy looking? No, there's no such thing. There's no, except for my car. But there's no such thing. So that's why you have to end up buying more than one car, because you can't buy one car that does
everything.
Your
sports car won't haul the trailer.
Exactly. Okay. So computers are the same way. There's not one computer that will do everything. But my idea, and it was, I wrote back in May of 2011 when the Google Chromebooks first came out, and I wrote an open letter to our superintendent of public instruction, Tom Luna, that suggesting that this Chromebook would be a great, great tool. Now, you can go to google.com/Chromebook, find out more about this fabulous computer. It does need to be connected to the internet, but it does have several offline apps that work as well. It's lightweight, it's thin, it has flash, it's got a solid state hard drive, so it boots quickly. It'll have all the tools that you need. It will reduce IT infrastructure at the school because the computers are automatically updated.
Right.
You don't have to worry about virus programs. It's easy to use. All you have to do is make sure the battery is charged.
It's kind of like the old VAC systems, if you remember those.
I'm not that old.
I heard. I saw a movie.
Yeah.
But where the computers themselves were connected really to the larger network, and they didn't have to house everything themselves.
$249, and I'm sure the state could get a big bargain if they bought. And not every student has to have one. Some students have their own computers. But they want to give HP computers to everyone? Good luck.
Crazy. Okay. All right. This is one of my absolute favorite segments
like
that we've done in this.
Because it embarrasses me.
It does not.
Yes.
It's called Would You Rather, where I ask Barbara some really tough questions.
Okay.
Would you rather peanut M&Ms or a Mars bar? Would you rather dance with a clown or ride a rodeo bull? Those kind of things.
Those really important questions.
Right. So, let me ask you this question. If
okay.
you had to choose one or the other in your class, which would you choose? Would you rather have Chromebooks or iPads?
Well, it depends upon what type of teacher I am.
I'm asking you, Barbara.
Oh, for myself.
All right, but you can
let's say if I'm a kindergarten teacher, an elementary school teacher, I'd rather have iPads because they're touch screen and kids can use them easier, and I would rather have iPads. And of course, if I had a science classroom, I'd probably rather have iPads. But if I'm an English teacher, I want a computer with a keyboard where students can really write, so I'd probably rather have a Chromebook. So again, I'm going to have to kind of fudge on this one.
Yeah, you did.
And say that there's not one size fits all, but if I'm going to have if I wanted to have two computers, I'd probably have a Chromebook and an iPad.
Oh my goodness. All right. Way to dodge having to choose there. Would you rather have a classroom Xbox or a classroom Wii?
I'm not a big gamer. I know a little bit about both of these tools. Again, if I were a PE teacher.
No, you've got to choose.
I'd rather
one.
Have a Wii. I think I'd probably rather have an Xbox.
Okay.
Because of the software applications and the I think I'd rather have an Xbox.
You know, the Kinect visual interface is really, really cool. So, would you rather have take-home laptops for your school or school district, or a bring-your-own device policy?
Well, that again, it depends. But if we're going to have if the laptops are provided to students at the school, they should be their laptops, and they should be able to take them home.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if it's a mobile device, those things have to be individually owned. Those are personal devices. You can't really share those. So I would say I'd rather have students have laptops that they could take home.
Okay. And now the really big and important
one.
Would you rather have a pet monkey or a dog that throws up every day?
Are you serious?
They both make messes.
Oh, really? You've had a pet monkey?
No, but I've heard a lot about pet monkeys.
Oh, I've never had a pet monkey.
I have a child who's been researching it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you have a child who is a pet monkey.
Well, I have children that represent pet monkeys and kind of act that
way. I hope your kids don't listen to this. I think I'd rather have a dog that throws up every day because I just like dogs. And, as long as you could train them where to throw up, it'd be okay.
Fabulous. I knew that question would get a good answer if you could train them where to throw up.
Uh-huh. See?
This is the high-level intellectual thinking that you get every week when you listen to the Cool Teacher
Friday
Podcast.
Afternoon. We have to have some fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, and we hope that that you have found this this episode entertaining and informative and have given you some launching points. I think that I would strongly encourage anyone to really dig in and read, repost, tweet, or forward Barbara's blog.
I'd like to hear back from you about that Google Chromebook, especially if you're using it. And I want to do a shout out to Bill Gibson, one of our Cool Teacher Podcast fans, who actually gave me this, provided this idea. He sent a comment. He wrote a comment on our coolteachers.org site. So just post comments to our blog posts, our podcast posts, and let us know what you think. He's doing some research. You know, you can download that Google Chrome operating system too. Let's say you have a bunch of old Windows computers that you're going to trash. You could actually download that Chrome operating system on there.
Isn't
that amazing?
You find out more about Chromebooks, folks. This approach is, again, not just a trend, but a kind of a wave of the way things are going.
And because I have Google stock, no, I'm just joking. I have no Google stock at all, and I do not work for Google. Although they should be contacting me, probably. You know,
I'm surprised they haven't gobbled you up yet.
I know, Google gobblers.
Yes, they are. We want to, of course, encourage you to do as Bill has done and send us your ideas. What do you want us to talk about? What would be meaningful? And if you want us to just shut up. No, actually, don't send those.
Don't send those. Don't send those.
My mailbox will be way, way too full.
But take a look at that Google. It's google.com/Chromebook. And find out more about it, because they advertise it as a great computer for the schools and also just a second computer, or third or fourth.
As a web device, as a web accessing device.
Right.
Well, hey, thanks for listening. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and through the iTunes Store. And we'll see you next week. Keep the love coming.
Oh, you ain't got to cry, suckers. Barbara and Chris will be back next week to infuse the cool, give the demons what for, and continue to show the man they mean business by delivering 8 packages of mojo. To share your cool teacher voodoo through ideas, comments, and questions, leave a message on the Cool Teacher Hotline. Aw, yeah.
If you like what you heard today, you can get more. Just go to the Cool Teacher Archive and click on Other Podcasts with Chris and Barbara. Or how would you like to have these characters in class? You can. You can get a master's degree from these guys and a dozen of their coolest colleagues online at Boise State University. If you can't commit to a full EdTech master's program right now, consider a 3-course graduate certificate in online teaching, technology integration, or school technology coordination. Check it out online at edtech.boisestate.edu. Or call 208-426-1966. 208-426-1966.
Assorted fruit flavored candies.
Easy for you to say.